Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thank you, Pete, and good morning. We're Grant and Danny. This is 106.7 The Fan. What a sports weekend. The 1-2-3 first today. Tiger winning the Masters. The Nats season right now is back on track, but they're still two games back in the NL East after losing a weekend series, and the Capitals find themselves up 2-0 on Carolina. So we'll get to those three things in a second. But Danny, your weekend was even better because you had Game of Thrones last night.
We had Thrones, Star Wars Celebration occurred. We saw the trailer for Episode 9, a couple other debuts, The Mandalorian starring Pedro Pascal of Narcos and Game of Thrones fame, directed by Jon Favreau, not the Obama speechwriter, but the guy from Swingers who's turned himself into a great director. He directed Iron Man and a number of other things. It was a great dork weekend and a great sports weekend, kind of the perfect symmetry for old Randy Duyan.
It was also just an amazing weather weekend.
It was that too, yeah.
We had the rain today, and then yesterday, I'd say late afternoon, early evening, it threatened to storm all night, and it ended up holding off, at least where I was. But it was the perfect day. Take the dog for a walk, go walk around the neighborhood. It was just beautiful outside.
Run a kid's baseball practice, try to get five-year-olds to pay attention, exhaust yourself to the point that you fell asleep as soon as you got home. You know, pretty good Sunday.
How'd that work out for you?
Not that great.
No?
Not that great.
You're coaching baseball.
Yes.
And soccer.
Yes.
Anything else?
No, that's the only thing I'm coaching, but that's, you know, I'm also...
I can't wait until you coach football this fall.
Oh, I'm sure.
You were sure you weren't going to coach baseball.
You're making good points.
You were pretty sure you weren't coaching soccer.
I mean, if I'm doing football, then I'm doing nothing but high school football Texas speeches to these kids, no matter what.
Did you ever get a good look at the Instagram video I tagged you
on? I liked the hell out of that. It was perfect.
Oh, it was so perfect.
It's so perfect. You can't give a speech in football as a coach without all of a sudden having a West Texas accent and just talking about like grit and desire and belief and heart.
That guy was the character that we do during the football season. He legitimately at one point said, "Believe in yourself and look into the eyes of the man next to you and believe in him too." And I thought at that moment, that's our character.
Yeah, that's right.
This is, he's 340 pounds.
It's, of course.
Gut hanging over his pants.
He's got a mustache.
This is the guy you and I do during the football season.
And everybody's a poor man's version of Coach Gary Gaines in Friday Night Lights, played by Billy Bob Thornton. Look in the clear eyes, you jackass. Play some football.
Let's go three up, three down here in our first segment. We will start with Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Wow, what a story. His 15th major. He wins by one stroke. He actually played it safe on the 18th hole, tapped in for bogey. It had been 11 years since Tiger Woods won a major. He takes home his fifth green jacket. That moves him past Arnold Palmer into second all-time for Masters wins. Only Jack Nicklaus with six Masters championships has more than Tiger Woods, but the career, the life has come full circle. 22 years ago, he won as a kid in 1997, went over and hugged his dad. Yesterday, he wins as a 43-year-old man who's been through so much and went over and hugged his son.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Tiger Woods with chance of Tiger on the 18th wins the Masters. Danny, I know how cynical you are. I know how much you hate both golf and Tiger Woods. But mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I'm not going to pretend to take pride in this like a Matt Valdez or an EB. I was thinking about those guys. I was happy
for
them.
That's who I'm happy for.
Me too.
Honestly. I mean, shtick aside. Like, congrats to Eric Bickle. Like, this 11 years of just hoping this would happen. 11 years of withdrawing from tournaments because he didn't like his first tee shot, so he pretended his back was hurt. 11 years of nonsense, all for that. Enjoy it, dude. Swim in it.
I'm pumped for those guys, but the TV was tremendous. I know you watched 0 seconds of it. It really was amazing entertainment and television to see him chasing down the leaders on those final several holes. He had never won a tournament going into the final day from behind. He's always been the front runner who pulls away. He'd never once been down, even a stroke, going into Sunday and won a tournament. He did that yesterday. I was conflicted. I even texted you. I'm like, I don't really know how to feel. I think he's a bad guy. I think he was a terrible husband and dad and an awful person. That's not in and of itself a crime, obviously, although he did commit some of those as well. But I got to be honest, man. Watching that, you know how soft I am and you know how easily I forgive.
Seriously, you're a forgiving dude.
I was kind of emotional for him when he hugged his kids. I thought that was great that they got to see their dad on top of the world. I won't go a whole lot further than that, but he's now got three majors to get to tie Jack Nicklaus with 18 majors. He wins at 43 years old yesterday. Second oldest Masters champ. Jack did it at 46, 33 years ago.
It is to think about, because I remember in high school, obviously. I was in high school. That 1997 Masters, right? That was 22 years ago, man. I'm old and nothing works right on me. Everything's sore and I'm tired and I had a grain of rice, so I gained 6 pounds at my EMP 180 weigh-in. So, like, how much my life has changed, right, since then. And there he was again winning the Masters. It is pretty amazing. I mean, he's great at golf. And I guess when he's healthy, he could still be pretty great.
I'm not so sure we're done seeing him on top. I don't know that he wins another major. Everyone's just kind of counting their chickens now that he's back. And maybe the stars just aligned once so we could see Jordan have a 50-point game with the Wizards or, you know, Mario Lemieux have some epic game with the Penguins 2.0. But it was just a great storyline for sports. The Nationals over the weekend dropped a series. It was a dramatic series. Game one, extra innings loss after the bullpen blew a lead in the eighth and faltered in the tenth. In game two, an exhilarating win. They go back-to-back in the eighth inning with Adam Eaton and Howie Kendrick homers to tie and then take the lead. They get their one victory over Pittsburgh. Yesterday, Max Scherzer guts through really a bad start to the game, throws eight innings of three-run ball. Ultimately, the bullpen and Wander Suero, who'd been excellent lately, gives up a run in the ninth. That issued run ends up costing them as they loaded the bases. Danny, you can't ask for a better bottom of the ninth situation. One out after a perfect bunt from Eaton. The bases are loaded, and you've got a white-hot Howie Kendrick up and a red-hot Anthony Rendon after him. Both of those guys bat. Kendrick strikes out swinging. Rendon flies out, and the Pirates win. But I will take that bottom of the ninth 100 times and see how it plays out every time.
Yeah, I'll certainly take my chances with those guys. The way Kendrick's been, just rolling. Just 100 miles an hour on the inside corner. Frozen right there from the former Felipe Rivero. So three really good starts for the Nationals. Corbin was great. Scherzer gutted through. Sanchez was good. Only one win to show for it. Those are the kinds of games that they're built to win. And they're not winning them as consistently as you'd like at this point. Still 7-7 without Trey Turner. Really for, you know, for 13 of those games. But yeah, the division is no joke, man. They're looking up and they got to put some wins together to start making some ground up on these teams.
Phillies 9-5 in first place. And then both the Mets and the Braves at 9-6, second and third ahead of the Nationals in fourth. They are playing better. And a lot of that has to do with their defense. Another outfield assist yesterday, Michael Taylor gunning a runner down at the plate.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a ground ball single to center. Runner Bell's going to try to score. Taylor with a terrific arm. Throw to the plate on one bounce. Gomes the tag. He is out. What a play by Gomes. He short hopped the throw and got the tag down. And Michael Taylor has the Nationals' first outfield assist of the year as he pegs Bell trying to score. And all the credit in the world to Yan Gomes to secure that throw that came in on the short hop. And he got the tag down. Nice play.
So a 1-2 weekend for the Nats. They were not the most important DC team in action this weekend, though. The Caps were, and they won both of their games so far in their series with the Carolina Hurricanes. They play tonight. They will drop the puck in Raleigh at 7 o'clock, earlier start time than the previous night game in this series at Capital One Arena. So that means 7 o'clock, you got to be back at home from work, no traffic, sitting in your recliner, food ready to go. The Capitals needed overtime in Game 2, Brooks Orpik. Strangely enough, playing hero. We'll get into that in more detail coming up in a few minutes. But they played two games. Game one was a two-goal win, but it was actually tied with a few minutes left. It was very close after they were up 3-0. Game two, they led 2-0. It was tied at 2, then led 3-2. It was tied at 3, and they kept responding with the next goal. They win 4-3 in extra time. Through this series at this point, you've got Nicholas Backstrom with 3 goals and 4 points to lead the way. Alex Ovechkin, who had 2 tremendous assists.
What a game he played yesterday.
He was so good.
What a game.
Evgeny Kuznetsov,
Saturday, man.
3 assists through 2 games so far for the Capitals. And one of those assists from Alex Ovechkin came on the lead-taking goal in the third period that we thought would be the game winner from Tom Wilson. Carolina had other ideas, but ultimately the Caps would escape with another win.
Niederreiter hit at the half boards by Alex Ovechkin. Alex on a move. Got a head of steam across center ice. Moves in on the left side. Trying to use the man as a screen. A pass across the shot. They score! Tom Wilson from the top of the right circle. 11:05 to go. It's 3-2 Washington.
John Walton has heard this weekend on our radio network. Remember, every single Caps playoff game from here on out will be heard on 106.7 The Fan starting tonight. They are in action against the Hurricanes. If they win, they go up 3-0. Only 4 teams have ever come back in the history of the NHL postseason from a 3-0 deficit. Next, Saturday, in a span of 3 minutes, the Capitals walked off the Canes and the Nats hit a game-tying and game-winning homer with back-to-back bolts. And it all happened within moments, and the call on the Nationals radio network, as heard here on The Fan, was
pretty
so
damn
good.
Cool.
We're going to play it for you. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Guys, Grant Paulson from my friends at Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Most moving companies have 1 to 2 A teams if they're lucky. Metropolitan Moving and Storage is consistent across the board, professional, uniformed, experienced movers and packers. They've got the Angie's List Superior Service Award 11 years in a row, maintaining just an amazing A-plus effort. Metropolitan Moving and Storage, proud to have earned this honor those 11 years in a row when 1% of companies ever received the award. That's why they've moved Chad Dukes, JP from the Junkies, myself, and so many others here at the station, including Nick Ashew recently. In fact, they just took care of a move for Tom Wilson from the Caps as well. Metropolitan Moving and Storage, run efficiently by my buddy John Neal and his boy Robert. They do a great job. Check them out. You can call them at 301-279-0090. That's 301-279-0090. Or go to DCMetropolitanMoving.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Still in the offensive end for the Caps. Kuznetsov will move in behind the net. Evgeny looking for someone in front, still holding the pass into the left circle. They score! And it's Brooks Orpik! Orpik from the left circle wins it for Washington! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Carolina! The Capitals lead the series 2-0, and Brooks Orpik gets the game winner in sudden death overtime.
A tremendous call from John Walton this weekend. We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Why not Brooks Orpik? He didn't score a single goal in 79 games 2 seasons ago, or a single goal in 81 games last year. He only scored 2 goals this year. In fact, he has scored 5 goals over the last 5 seasons of regular play for the Capitals. Over the last 7 seasons in the NHL, he has scored 7 goals. Brooks Orpik does not score goals.
You're wrong. He's a goal scorer, Grant. He scores the goal.
Stanley Cup, game 1 in Vegas. Game 2, as a matter of fact, in Vegas. He scored the game-winning goal to get the Caps even 1-1 in that series last year. He's now got a game-winner in a playoff game in consecutive series. What an amazing storyline that is. I actually tweeted out. I did my best to steal the Bucci Gross Overtime Challenge. I didn't quite hashtag it, the Paulson Overtime Challenge. But I asked people, who do you think is going to score the game-winning goal in overtime? Not one Caps fan.
Well, yeah.
Hundreds of responses. Hundreds of responses. Not one said Brooks Orpik.
And rightfully so, by the way. That's what makes it. That's what the postseason is, man. Again, the John Druce corollary. More postseason goals than regular season goals. It shouldn't happen that way. Devontae Smith-Pelly is down in Hershey right now, just toiling away, ready for their postseason to start. 7 playoff goals last year. Because of course he did. Brooks Orpik, of course. By the way, what a demon he has been in these 2 games. I think at his age, which is basically my age, where everything hurts all the time and you just get sore for no reason, you can't play like that for 82 games. You can't.
Well, he said as much. And Isabel Kashoudian was on today with the Junkies, and Isabel basically said he went on record and said, yeah, I'm playing at a level now that is better than the regular season if it looks like it. Because when you are 38 years old, it's not possible to play 82 games like this. I just hope that people leave the guy alone. I really do. That sounds overstated or dramatic, but there are Caps fan sites, like websites, that do nothing but post videos and GIFs of all of his mistakes, that have like 15 mistakes saved up so that they can tweet them out over the course of the offseason,
yeah,
just to get their fix all offseason long, their pound of flesh on Brooks Orpik. All that guy has done is help change the locker room over a couple of years into one that is more veteran and respectable and operates like a winning organization should culturally. Then, when they made their playoff run last year, serve as one of, if not their most valuable defenseman in the run, oh, by the way, at 37 years old, and now score a game winner in game two against the Hurricanes. Just get off the dude's back. I'm sorry he got paid a lot of money. I'm sorry he's slow and at times he makes mistakes. I apologize on behalf of Brooks Orpik. Now leave the dude alone. He's a multi-time champion. He's trying to get you your second Stanley Cup, and everyone shut your mouths for a little while.
Yeah, so to me there was a mix of valid criticism where you go, he's probably making too much money. And if you make that much, you're held to a higher standard that may have been unrealistic.
This year he makes $1 million.
But this year he makes, for hockey terms, very, very little. And he came back because he wanted to be here.
They traded him to Colorado.
Yeah, so I'm with you.
And he came back and signed a tiny deal to be a Capital again.
And he was especially in game one, he was a bad man in game number one.
But my point is, people were so upset about the contract that they weren't actually realistic in their criticism anyway. They would post a video of something he did wrong. Mm. You don't do that with Ovechkin. You don't do that with Kuznetsov. You don't do that with Oshie. And I'm not sitting here trying to bag on any of those guys either, but it's hockey. Every shift, you get exhausted at that 51st second on the ice. You do something maybe you don't want to do. If you took a little snapshot of everybody's worst moments every game, you could play the same game with anybody you wanted to.
Sure.
For some reason, he became the punching bag, and I don't really know why, but I hope that we're past that now. This was the Nationals call with Charlie and Dave. This is so, so good. We wanted to play it for you guys in its entirety. So the Orpik goal happened, and you're going to hear Charlie reference that here during their play-by-play. For people that don't know, the Orpik goal happened less than 30 seconds before Adam Eaton hit a game-tying
homer.
Like
in real time, if
you're
flipping back and forth.
And Howie Kendrick hit a game-winning homer. Literally within a minute. Here's how it sounded this weekend with Charlie and Dave on the Nats call here on The Fan.
Boy, the Caps and the Hurricanes are in overtime over in Chinatown. 3-3 game just ended. Caps just won it in overtime. Sudden death overtime. Now the pitch. Eaton takes high. Ball three.
It's a walk-off
three
goal.
And two. Indeed. Caps go up 2-0. A minute 48 into overtime. Hurricanes were not easy to put away today. Three balls, two strikes on Eaton. Rodriguez winds, delivers a pitch. Swung on, driven it deep to right. Way back. Going, going. Gone. Goodbye. What an at bat for Adam Eaton. He had a 10-pitch at bat of the first and singled on the ninth pitch of this at bat. He puts it over the big wall in right field to the left of the bullpen for his first home run of the year. And this game is all even here in the bottom of the eighth inning. It's the Nationals 2 and the Pirates 2. Bang! Zoom goes Eaton.
That was a pretty good minute for DC Sports. Caps score to win. Nats score to tie.
Here's the pitch. Kendrick drives one deep to left. Way back. This one is good. Second home run of the year, and just like that, the Nationals have the lead here in the bottom of the eighth inning. It's Washington 3 and Pittsburgh 2. 435 feet on that blast by Kendrick.
So that was a pretty good 2 minutes for DC Sports. Caps score to win, Nats score to tie. Nats scored a lead.
And a visit to the mound for the pitching coach, Ray Searidge. So that's Orpik
to
Kuznetsov on the goal.
Yep.
To Eaton to Kendrick.
It's a lot of assists.
Great call from Charlie and Dave, and that was as good a couple of minutes as I can remember. If you're a big Nats and Caps fan, doesn't get better than that.
By the way, how awesome. Both arenas packed.
Yeah.
You know, Nats Park going nuts. There's a big cheer that goes up throughout the crowd because they just scored and people were realizing it slowly but surely. Down at Capital One Arena was awesome. And then, of course, the other two teams did a lot of good stuff.
Joe Beninati is the face and voice of Capitals hockey on NBC Sports Washington. He will be on the call tonight at 7 o'clock in Carolina. But first, he's got a date with us. He joins us in 30 minutes at 11. Make sure you're listening. Next, let's get the Redskins into the mix. Reuben Foster is not being suspended. Does anybody owe the Redskins an apology? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Beninati will call the Caps and the Canes tonight, but first he'll join us at 11, a half hour from right now. At 11:18, Caps fans seem to be celebrating the Penguins being down 3-0 to the Islanders. I've said all along, I think the Islanders are a tougher matchup. I would have rather played Pittsburgh. I think people that are scared of Pittsburgh over the Islanders didn't watch the NHL this season. They just kind of know what Pittsburgh's been in the playoffs for a while.
You got those Pittsburgh ghosts, plenty of those times where they weren't supposed to be there, and yet there they were hoisting various trophies.
Right, but the Islanders are a better hockey team.
Yeah, at the moment, they seem to be, right? Up 3-0.
So we'll get into that at 11:18 today. We got some tickets to give away. A 12:45 Nats-Giants tickets could be yours. You got to listen and answer a question. 1:45, we've got tickets to the Redskins draft party at the Anthem, which looks like it's going to be a blast. So make sure you're listening over the duration of the program. Speaking of the Skins, before we get into Reuben Foster, which I want to do here, you showed me a video that blew me away.
Yep.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, is that good enough?
Antetokounmpo.
The
Where's
Greek
my bell?
Freak, who is must-see television. He was on yesterday, and I couldn't stop watching. I kind of flipped through and basically said, I'll watch 10 minutes of this game. Why not? He got the basketball on a turnover at his own three-point line, took one dribble, and dunked from just in front of the free throw line. One dribble from his own three-point line to score on a dunk.
It's something that you hear and you go, oh. You must see it. It's being tweeted around right now. I think I can't remember the Twitter account, but it's Ball is Life or somebody has it.
Did he travel or no?
I think technically, letter of the law, to travel. They never call that on gathers to kind of go up and dunk. I thought there was an extra step in there, but the fact remains. On a steal, where now granted, he wasn't flat-footed, so he started to run towards his goal, like the hoop that he was going to.
Right.
Steals the ball, and his giant super strides. Like you can't make this up. A person should not be able to move that way at that size. He takes two enormous steps and then must, of course, bounce the basketball. So now he's at half court, and his 1-2 gather, he takes off from the free throw line and casually dunks it. And everybody kind of, he just took one dribble from 70 feet away.
By the way, they led the game at one point by 43 points. Milwaukee did, the one seed in the East. What is the fewest amount of dribbles you think I could take? While not obviously traveling. So you're giving me two and what you're calling the gather step?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you.
Yeah, I'm not either. I think it's like six dribbles.
To go from there is six.
I think it's six.
Yeah, to go from there is six.
But that's, you know, when you watch a dunk contest, it's cool because you go, I can't dunk at all. I can't get close to dunking. Look what this guy's doing. When you watch a home run derby, you could give me a million tries. I couldn't hit a homer. This dude's hit 17 on the last 20 swings. That is all you need to know about this guy being a unicorn, being different than everyone else on the planet.
They don't make that. That does not get produced anywhere at any time. And poor Detroit, with no Blake Griffin.
Is he out for the whole series, or we don't know yet?
He said he wanted to play, and they held him out. I don't know if he's out for the whole series. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Milwaukee's so much better. You look at their totals, by the way, like everybody had five or six assists. They're just passing the ball around, doing whatever the hell they want. It's a layup drill. It's not quite Washington Generals against the Globetrotters, but it's sniffing that territory. Detroit should just pack it in and go home. Nice season. Way to get there. That's cool and cute. You don't belong.
We'll get to some previews of some of today's NBA and NHL playoff action before the end of the day. I'll just say this. I don't know why I take pride in the Raptors losing at this point.
Man,
but I am,
you should.
I love hearing how
you
different
should.
Every year is for the Raptors.
You should take great pride in it,
I
honestly.
Know nothing about nothing. I just always bet against them because they're Toronto in the playoffs. And then they lose to Orlando 104-101 with Kawhi Leonard now.
Yep.
You'd have thought one of my teams won. I was so happy. I don't know why.
Because it's I don't know what the similar phenomenon is. When you have to hear so much about something, because like all the hoops guys that you get irritated by, and rightfully so, they want to talk about somebody's shoe game or stees or whatever the hell these stupid things are.
The Raptors are different.
And this time the Raptors are different. I've fallen for it. I've fallen for it three different times that they're different. Well, this time because they go to the bench, and young Pascal Siakam is great. Well, now they made the move to trade for the center, whose name I'm blanking on for some reason, Marc Gasol, and Kawhi Leonard. So they're so desperate, and they fired their coach. This is the difference. It's not different. It's Toronto. They're going to do it again.
And they're
going to
win this series. They'll get past Orlando.
They'll beat Orlando. Orlando's no slouch. Really, the second half of the season, they played great defense, and Jonathan Isaac, kid out of Florida State, is a pain in the ass to deal with. They are going to win this series, still in my opinion. But it's a reminder. Do not buy it.
I just love it.
It's right there on display. It's the new novel by Toronto. You walk right past it to the other bestsellers. Don't buy Toronto.
If that was water, I could have taken a shower in it. I was just so happy about it.
Guilo, by the way, our boy Guilo Wren, you can tweet us at FunnyDanny at Grant H. Paulson, usually stands with you on the Toronto situation, and he mocks me to no end that I have bought into the Toronto phenomenon multiple times over. Mock away.
The Redskins got great news on Friday. Matter of fact, not long after you and I were done with our show going into the weekend, Reuben Foster is not being suspended. So what does this mean for Washington? Well, first and foremost, they've got a starting inside linebacker with Mason Foster, very likely. You know, although I wouldn't be surprised if Sean Dion Hamilton leapfrogged Mason Foster as a starter. I thought Mason Foster should have been a cap casualty and should be cut, and maybe he still will be. There's a lot of offseason left. But Reuben Foster is going to start for them. Now, he got benched last year for a mid-round draft pick, and everyone seems to forget this as everyone's talking about what a great acquisition this is.
Because it wasn't working there in San Francisco on multiple levels.
It was not. He was a disappointment based on being a first-round pick for the 49ers. But I also think part of why he fell out of favor, part of why he got benched, was that they were very unhappy with him off the field. This is a tremendous addition, though. This is a guy that has speed, can run, is a great tackler, is a physical player, and who I think should be a schematic fit. I remember texting a couple people in the Redskins front office and coaching staff after they got Reuben Foster, and I basically asked about him as a player. And the one thing that one guy said back that I thought was interesting was three-down linebacker. This guy doesn't come off the field. Mm. They had guys in both Mason Foster and Zach Brown the last 2 years that they had to spell on passing downs. Their point was that will not happen with Zach Brown. And another person told me it's the best linebacker on our team right now. So if they believe that and they start him, then you've got Landon Collins in your secondary, huge addition. You've got Reuben Foster in your linebacking core, big plus. That's two marquee acquisitions, free agency, that you've made. And you did this on the cheap. It's like going and getting one of the better linebackers available, if he's as good as they think he is, for next to nothing. And everyone made fun of them when they did it and said he would serve a suspension. You and I both said he would serve long suspensions.
And I was wrong, yeah.
I said, what I think, 4 games?
I thought it was going to be 6. I was going the Zeke Elliott precedent. Honestly, I thought it was going to be 6 games.
He's not getting anything. No suspension for Reuben Foster.
2 game checks, which is interesting, where they're kind of going, we know you did something, we can't prove it, give us some money, and then we'll just kind of go about our ways. A couple notes on this. It was important because the Redskins are starting off-season workout programs today. They start. They're back. Guys are welcome back at the facility. They can lift. They can work out. Foster would have not been permitted to do that had this not happened on Friday.
Well, give them credit, too, because they went to the league and they said, listen up, guys. We got to figure out what's going on for our offseason program.
Absolutely.
And for the draft. The draft is next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's next Thursday night. We need to know, do we need to draft an inside linebacker or not? I think that's the least the league can do here.
Agreed.
Don't hold these teams hostage. Don't pin the team's fate and a guy like, say, Sean Dion Hamilton's career against the wall because you're trying to figure out what you could do with Reuben Foster. Make a decision one way or the other.
Right.
I think the Redskins would have been perfectly content if you said, 4-game, 6-game suspension.
Whatever it is, we need to know.
They just want to know what's going on, and now they do. He's not getting suspended.
So credit to everybody involved there. And my contention is there are two different plates to spin. I think a lot of people owe a lot of apologies to the Washington Redskins. I really do. Here's where I stood, and Blue Shorts did a great job writing this up initially, and he reposted it, our commentary from the initial moment, okay, when Reuben Foster was claimed by the Redskins. To me, it was at the time, a procedural move that was going to come with some flack given our society, but I can't worry about the fact that people are angry because of an accusation. The information needed to come out. More information has come out since then, okay, and every time it does, I'm not saying things look great for Reuben Foster. There's still a bad pattern of behavior at a minimum. At maximum, a really troubling pattern of behavior. But all the Redskins did was put a procedural move in place to claim a guy, as you said, for very cheap. And there's a chance it turns out to be a savvy acquisition. The thing you get outraged about is if they know he did something wrong and something terrible and egregious, and you trot him out there anyway, a la Dallas Cowboy. Then you can be upset. We don't know anything at this point, and people got upset for that. I think people who got upset right away should owe the Redskins an apology today. The second layer, though, to me, is their handling of the moments after the signing. They bumbled that. They screwed that up. They looked foolish and awkward and like they hadn't talked to anybody, including in their statement. We spoke to the Alabama players. Then as soon as the press got a hold of the Alabama players on the roster, they were like, no, we didn't talk to anybody about anything. Oh, we conducted a thorough investigation. Well, you didn't even get the police report.
And that's still my issue with this whole thing.
And it should be.
They didn't do what they had to do to figure this out. It worked out in their favor. Now, maybe the people they talked to that they referenced in Tampa Bay. We know people in Tampa. We talk to people. Maybe that's some of the information they got that helped them know that they'd be okay. I'll give them a benefit of the doubt because it just sounds dismissive if I say, oh, they got lucky. But the bottom line is, in the future, they need to talk to the police department where something happened.
Get the incident report.
How about get the incident report that someone in the Washington Post could get with one phone call? That's the bare minimum. So I won't apologize to them in the sense that I think they screwed this up still in the way that they handled the aftermath. But for the people that were writing the columns, mm-hmm. eviscerating them, for the people that were saying you should never give a guy like this a chance, mm-hmm. that he's a terrible person and the Redskins are a bad organization for employing him, yeah, I think an apology is absolutely necessary. Do you guys think the Redskins are deserving of that from the mostly national people, but some local people who came out and completely clubbed them for adding Reuben Foster? 800-636-1067. Also, what do you think about their defense now that they've added Landon Collins and Foster's not going to serve a suspension? Remember Joe Beninati on the Capitals at 11 right here on Grant and Dan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Raby from Caps Radio. He hosts Pre and Post. He'll join us at 1 o'clock today. So we got you covered, Caps fans. Fear not. Nats tickets can be yours at 11:45. Tickets to the Redskins draft party at the Anthem at 12:45. We will be busy. The Skins will not have to deal with a suspension for inside linebacker Reuben Foster. They got this right. They brought him in on the cheap. He will play for them as of week 1 this year. Danny says maybe it's time for some mea culpas and apologies from some national media. Here's where I think that gets complicated, and we'll get to the phones in a second at 800-636-1067. It depends on what the critique of the Redskins was.
Yes, and I can get to that.
It depends on what the analysis being done on the Skins was in this regard. If your take was it's a bad look and teams shouldn't add players moments after they're released, right after they get out of jail for allegations that they hit a woman, I think that could still be a very reasonable stance. Now, he was not ultimately, despite being charged, taken to court, it got dropped, that the charges went away, and he's not going to be suspended. But I still wouldn't want the Redskins to get into the business of every time someone gets released, trying to add that player and kind of finding out as they go what happened, which is basically what they did here.
Mm-hmm. So you going, hey, that's not a great look. That's a very reasonable opinion.
Right.
You going, I'm not saying you, but people that I read and heard and saw going, not only is it a bad look, but they're endorsing domestic violence. They don't care about domestic violence. They by signing Reuben Foster, who's merely accused of impropriety at this stage, without information coming out, you are now somehow enabling and are evil for this versus probably not the smartest time to do that, right? You should probably conduct a more thorough investigation or give it more time.
Let's sit a play
breathing
out.
Space. Yeah.
Let's let it breathe a little bit. And by the way, let's do a thorough investigation, which the fact that he's going to play without a suspension doesn't change the fact that I don't think they did a good enough investigation.
And I think that's fair. So again, to me, there's a grand canyon. And we had people saying the thing that I think is apology worthy at this stage. And now they're going to hide behind, well, the Redskins bungled the other part. Their PR in the aftermath with Doug Williams' foot in his mouth, with their weird statement where it sounds like they actually didn't talk to their own players about the guy. This we conducted our own investigation where they didn't even get the police report. Now, I'm sure Bruce has some contacts in Tampa Bay. I'm sure like he knows a guy or two on the beat or a private investigator or something like that, and that's all well and good. You should still get the incident report. You should still... For a public records request, the way that the guy that we had on from the Washington Post, it took him 45 minutes to get it faxed to him. They said, sure, what's your number? And it came sliding in into his DMs. It's not that hard. They didn't do that. You could criticize them for how they handled the aftermath. 100%, I did at the time. But the initial outrage, for the sake of being outraged, simply because someone was accused of something, no due process afforded to him at all in this case by the public outcry, those are the folks that I say, apologize. Eat that crow.
Yeah, and there are plenty of them out there that probably need to.
You know who you are.
Guylo Ren on Twitter, you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny, says, as I said, the moment they picked up Foster, it was a good move. The stupidity of their actions following makes it impossible for them to make people eat crow.
Good summary.
And that's probably true because you can point to the Doug Williams statement. You could point to the small potatoes comment on the radio with Doc Walker. You could allude to, if nothing else, the fact that all the Alabama players came out and said, they didn't talk to us. So it still doesn't look good. But the fact is, doesn't matter. The mm-hmm. Redskins get the last laugh here.
Yep.
They added a player who is not in trouble, either legally or with the NFL. He's got to pay a fine. Who cares about that? Do you care that Reuben Foster doesn't get two game checks? I don't care about that. He's going to be going sideline to sideline and helping this team come September. Doesn't change the fact, by the way, that something probably happened. We know that. In that situation, in that hotel room in Tampa Bay, that he's got a terrible track record of misbehaving.
All true.
That this is not the first time he got in trouble with that woman, and it's not going to be the first time that a team had to talk to him about something legal that had nothing to do with that woman. He got in trouble for guns. He got in trouble for drugs at different times. So this is a guy that has to get right. And if he doesn't, he's going to be out of the league. The Redskins put out a big statement over the weekend saying that they're going to do everything they can to help him. They've got counselors. They're having him take classes. They're having him do weekly appointments with people in the building.
So interesting dichotomy there on that point. Again, all very well said by you. Because, again, at minimum, a track record of not great decision-making. I think that's safe to say, right? At maximum, possibly did some pretty horrible things. But go to this. The Redskins' statement, to me, was very interesting. And I think they did a good job of it. They're basically saying, hey, we're aware, bad track record, bad precedent here. He's got a lot to live up to. He's got a lot of extra things that 52 other guys that make this roster don't have to do. He's got to do them. His program, right?
They had to say that.
Of course they did. He's meeting with the pastor. He's meeting with the developmental
Malcolm
people.
Blackwell, who's like their basically their director of player living or whatever they call it.
Whatever it is.
I don't know what
player
that
adjustment. Is. So But then you think about, well, does that jive with your investigation? Didn't your investigation say that you believe in the guy, you believe in the person, you believe in the player, and you don't think he did anything wrong? And now you're going, we know he's done a lot of stuff wrong and he's got to act right. It was just interesting to me, that's all.
See,
just
I don't have a problem with that.
I'm not saying I have a problem, it's just interesting.
To me, it didn't even register. I think both are true. I think they're saying, we signed him to see what was going to come out of this. Nothing came out of it, we hit the jackpot.
Yep.
By the way, he has acted a fool off the field. This guy has been a problem. There's a reason he got released. There's a reason he was in the drug program. There's a reason at the combine he got booted by the NFL.
Yeah.
He is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
If he continues to be an issue, he will not play for us. But he's got a clean slate, and we're setting these several parameters up to allow him to act as an adult and as a pro moving forward. Greg Springfield, you're on Grant and Danny. What's going on?
Hey, I do think they got lucky based on his previous track record, but I did feel it was worth taking the gamble because of the Redskins' overall lack of talent, so they need to take some gambles. But truthfully, with the Redskins, I don't know what's going to happen.
Your phone cut out.
Broke up. Thank you.
So that goes opposite basically what we've said on the show in the past. I think there's a lot of merit to this, which is your point when teams do something like this, and I've always tended to agree with you, is this is the type of move you can make if you're New England.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of move you can make if you're Philadelphia. If you've got a good culture and a pretty well-run locker room, patrolled and policed by veterans, and you're on the precipice of winning another championship, take a chance on a guy like Reuben Foster. The opposite of that is when you are desperate and you have no talent, is it worth rolling the dice in a way that maybe you wouldn't have to if you had a better locker room? Now, that's thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Beninati calls Caps games on NBC Sports Washington. He'll be on the call tonight. You can hear the game at 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. He joins us next. He's at practice. We'll see if the Canes are making any adjustments to their lines. And is Todd Reirden going to change anything up after an overtime win? We're Grant and Danny.
Danny Ruyang for my pals at Ted Britt Ford. Now is the time. It's all April, baby. These are the hookups. Let me give them to you. This is what's going on at Ted Britt Ford. Some terrific, terrific deals. $7,000 off the MSRP on a new 2019 Ford Mustang. $8,000 off the MSRP on your choice of a 2019 Escape or an EcoSport. $8,500 off. See, I'm going up with the savings here. Off the MSRP on a new 2019 Ford Edge. That may be the car I'm getting. My lease is up on the 2016 Edge I got from a couple years ago. Maybe time. Maybe that's what I'm doing here in a couple months. $9,000 off the MSRP on a new 2019 Ford Explorer. How about $12,000 off the MSRP on the 2019 F-150 truck? You know, the number one truck in America? Right there, baby. Go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. And when you buy from Ted Britt Ford, confidence for life. Ted Britt for life. It means lifetime vehicle coverage, powertrain, great service loaner program, battery replacement every 4 years. Well, they'll fix your windshield if the chips are cracked. You got to go see my guys. Drive back to Chantilly, quickwaypedbrick.com. And where you go, please tell them.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.